Our reading this morning is from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 7 through 18. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with flowing streams, with springs and underground waters, welling up in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land where you may eat bread without scarcity, where you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and from whose hills you may mine copper. You shall eat your fill and bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. Take care that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commandments, his ordinances, and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. When you have eaten your fill and have built fine houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks have multiplied, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, an arid wasteland with poisonous snakes and scorpions. He made water flow for you from flint rock and fed you in the wilderness with manna that your ancestors did not know, to humble you and to test you, and in the end to do you good. Do not say to yourself, my power and the might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, so that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your ancestors, as he is doing today. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. It is incredible to me that it is almost Thanksgiving. These holidays always sneak up on us, which is a little crazy because they come at the same time every year, but they still sneak up on us, don't they? Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays because Christmas is my favorite holiday, and Thanksgiving means Christmas is about a month away, right? But as a pastor, it's a little bit scary because Thanksgiving means that it's Advent, and then Advent and Christmas and all of the crazy stuff that I have to prepare for and that we in the church have to get ready for. But it's still really, really exciting. I'm looking forward to spending Thursday here at the church with all of you as we serve folks in our community with need, whether that's just need for companionship or need for food. I'm looking forward to a day off on Friday, and Ashton and I always, we do the Black Friday shopping thing. We don't buy anything, but we like to go around and watch all the crazy people. So we'll go to the mall or something and just sit and watch people trip over themselves for stuff you can get online for the same price. And then we'll buy our gifts online and be done with it. So I'm looking forward to all that. I'm looking forward to what Thanksgiving means for me and my family. Do you have a ritual of giving? I asked the kids this. Do you have a ritual of giving thanks on Thanksgiving? Do you, any of you do anything like that? So in my family, I think we kind of do what a lot of families do, and everyone just kind of stands up at the dinner table and says what, something they're thankful for. But I actually read about a tradition, and maybe some of you do something like this, but I thought this was really cool. And what they would do is they would give one kid every year the responsibility of giving the Thanksgiving toast. Now, this wasn't something they did at the spur of the moment. They knew about it ahead of time, and they had to actually prepare it. They were expected to go to family members to talk to them, to help discern what thankfulness means. They were expected to write this out. I mean, they were supposed to spend hours preparing this toast. And then they get dressed up, and they come to Thanksgiving dinner, and it's whosoever turn it is to give the Thanksgiving toast and to tell everyone everything that they're thankful for. I think that's a really cool tradition. It becomes like a rite of passage into adulthood that when you get to a certain age, you get to give the Thanksgiving toast and tell everyone all of the things that are being thankful for in your family. As I said, that's really cool, but my family's tradition is kind of more the traditional, simple, go around the dinner table and tell everyone what you're thankful for. But we read this morning from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy has a lot to say about giving thanks. Now, Deuteronomy, we talk about Paul a lot in the church. Paul is the author of the epistles, and essentially all of Paul's letters are sort of a crash course in Christian theology. Paul takes the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and he helps explain them to people in different communities. And that's why his epistles are so useful for us, because they're sort of the first written sermons. Well, Deuteronomy is sort of the same in that it's Moses giving a sermon, actually a series of four sermons, to his people throughout a book that is essentially recounting the oral traditions of the Jewish people and the traditions and practices of their faith. And in Deuteronomy, in this particular passage, Moses is reminding his people that they have a responsibility to give thanks for all of the good that's happening in their world. If we skip ahead to Deuteronomy, we find in chapter 26 a pattern for a harvest festival. So, of course, we're way before Thanksgiving, several thousand years before Thanksgiving, but there was still a harvest festival, right? We kind of planned Thanksgiving around the harvest. Well, the way this worked was everyone would bring a little bit of their harvest, right? If whatever they would bring a little bit of it. And the priest would take it. In a temple, you had two important leaders. You had a rabbi who was responsible for teaching and preaching, and then you had a priest who was responsible for all of the rituals and those sorts of elements of worship. And so the priest would then would do four things. The first thing they would do is they would take all of this harvest, and they would bring it together. Then they would bless it. They would bless God, and they would bless the food, and then they would break it. And that might mean someone brought loaves of bread, and so they would break up the bread. That might mean someone brought some vegetables that needed to be cut up, or just things to be divided. And it would be divided up so that everyone got a share. And then they would share it. First, they would share it with the people in the temple. It was quite very much a potluck dinner. And then they would take what was left, and they would share it with those in need and the poor in their community. Take, bless, break, share. Now, if that sounds familiar, it is the same format with which we do Holy Communion. We take the elements. We take the bread and the juice. We bless them, and we bless God in doing that. And then we break them and divide them up so there's enough for everyone. And then we share it with one another. In Holy Communion, we share not just the elements, but we share in the very presence of Christ that we hope to take from this place out into the community and share it with those who need it. Communion and this harvest festival are inextricably linked because of that pattern of take, bless, break, and share. Deuteronomy that we read this morning, chapter 8, Moses says to take some time to give thanks. Remember last week I said that there's sort of a pattern in the Old Testament where the Israelites would sort of make it a little bit further in the wilderness, or they make it a little bit further in life, and then they'd sort of get stuck. They'd either decide that everything that had happened, they had accomplished on their own, or they would decide that everything that had happened had been done despite God, or that God hadn't done enough, right? One of the things we talked about last week is sort of this not enough-ism that we have. Last week we said that there was a study that said that everyone thinks, generally speaking, that they need about 20% more money than they have right now. And it doesn't matter whether they have a little or a lot. Billionaires think they need 20% more than they have right now. We tend to think that what we need is just a little bit more than what we have right now. And that was what was happening. They thought, well, God, you've done some great things for us, but you haven't done enough. And so then comes golden calves and other gods. Well, this morning, Moses is warning them about that. He says, you may say to yourself, it is my hands that gave me this wealth, but remember the Lord your God, for he gives you this ability. He says, be careful that you do not forget your God. Giving thanks is a critically important practice for two very big reasons. First and foremost, because it humbles us. I think we humans, from time to time, can use a little humbling. I know I sure can, right? We have these moments in our lives where we maybe think a little too highly of ourselves and don't spend enough time recognizing the gifts of other people around us that have helped us to accomplish what we have. Deuteronomy reminds us that God is the source of all good things, and if we need to, we need to remember to give God thanks for everything we've accomplished. Thankfulness is also important because we have a tendency to focus on the bad instead of the good. One thing I like to do, you probably noticed when writing a sermon, is to try to take a look at human nature and then try to take a look at Scripture and figure out if the two aren't quite lining up. Because that might mean that there's some intentional work that we need to do to get ourselves a little bit closer to the gospel. One of those ways that human nature kind of demonstrates itself is social media. Social media is this incredible tool to understand and the human psyche, because we put everything on social media. We put everything on Facebook. Maybe not you and I, but quite a few people do, right? So we have this tendency to talk more about the bad than the good. So there was a market research company, and they asked 1,000 people a series of questions about good and bad experiences. So they asked 1,000 people about good and bad experiences. 95%, 950 of the 1,000, said that they had recently shared a bad experience with someone else. In other words, 950 of the 1,000 said, yeah, I can remember here recently, a few weeks ago, I had my burger was overdone at the restaurant, or the cashier at the grocery store wasn't very nice to me, and I told my friends about that, right? 95% of people shared a bad experience that they had had, compared to 72% of people who shared a good experience. So think about that for a second. 95% of people will share a bad experience that they've had. Only 72% of people will share a good experience. That's a huge gap. 95% of people will take time out of their day to tell you that someone did something that upset them or hurt them or bothered them, and only 72% of the people will take time out of their day to tell you something that someone did that really pleased them. I think the bar is also really high for exceptional experiences and really low for poor experiences. In other words, it's really easy to upset someone. It's really easy to do something that really bothers someone. It's quite a bit harder to do something that really wows them and sends them above and beyond. This same research company also found that 42% of people, less than half, said that they would go back to a business just because they had a good experience, whereas 66% said they would never go back because they had a bad experience. So we're more likely to reject something or someone if they've harmed us, and less likely to go back to them if they've done something good. On social media, we are 50% more likely to share a negative experience than a positive one. Okay, so what do a bunch of statistics about marketing have to do with Deuteronomy? Well, I think they demonstrate something about human nature. We have a tendency to not be thankful. We have a tendency as humans, and I think it's just natural, it just kind of comes naturally. We have a tendency to focus more on the bad things that are happening in our life. We focus more on ways in which the world isn't quite meeting our expectations. And we don't spend enough time spent on all of the good that is happening in our world. The Bible tells us that we need to take time to step back, to think about what we're thankful for, and to take intentional time to give God thanks for that. Our sin nature is to spend all of our time and energy talking about bad things, but the call from God is to focus on the good so that we can be thankful. I've got a few teachers in here and a few people who have been in management positions. Have you ever heard of a compliment sandwich? Joyce has a compliment sandwich. So a compliment sandwich is something that's taught to teachers and managers and anybody who might have an occasion to share criticism with someone else in a constructive way. All humans share criticism, but some are actually useful. And so when you have to share criticism in a role that's supervisory, right, you want to do it in a way that's effective. The least effective management technique is to beat up on people. You can tell someone how terrible of a job they're doing every day, and all that does is find them a new job. It doesn't actually make them more productive. So the compliment sandwich is this idea in which you start with something positive, and then you share the criticism in as graceful of a way as possible, and then you tell them something else positive. So you walk into Mr. Jones' office, you say, "Mr. Jones, I really appreciate the initiative you took in taking on this project. I don't think it quite met our expectations, but the project you did last week was really exceptional." Has anyone ever done that to you? Right? Has anyone ever said something really, really nice and then given you something critical and then said something else really, really nice? A lot of you are looking up at the ceiling like that just happened to me last week, right? That's the compliment sandwich, but I wonder if that actually couldn't be a model that we could look at from Deuteronomy. What if we were at least twice as thankful as we were critical? What if we spent twice as much of our time saying thank you to God for what we already have as we did wondering about what we still think we need? Might that change our attitudes? Might that make us happier? You know, the thing about happiness is that it's not about reality, it's about perception. There have been dozens and dozens and dozens of studies on happiness, on what makes people happy, and we can't figure it out. We can't figure it out because having more money doesn't make people happier, being healthier doesn't make people happier, having bigger families doesn't make people happier. Nothing makes people happier. People are either happy or they're not. Because I think the reality is people who are happy are people who are satisfied and thankful for what they already have. People who aren't happy because they don't have enough will never, ever have enough. You can give them more and more and more, but it will never be enough. Happiness comes from thankfulness. Happiness comes from people who take the time to step back and be thankful for what they already have. Moses in Deuteronomy tells us to do exactly that. Maybe instead of a compliment sandwich, we could churchify it and call it a grace sandwich. Let's start with something we're thankful for. Let's figure out if we can give some grace to those moments that we're less thankful for. If there's a way that maybe we can just not worry about it anymore, give it to God, and then finish with something that we're thankful for. When we're thankful people, we are reminded of who God is and who we are. Thanksgiving, I think, is a profound time to step back and be thankful. Thanksgiving is not a church holiday, but I think we can pretend and use it like one this week. The forefathers and foremothers of our church developed holidays in the church for a very specific reason. The reason wasn't to have a party. The reason was to be reminded every year of certain very important parts about our faith. We have Easter because we have to be reminded every year, it's important, that we have a resurrected Christ that we follow. Christmas every year because it's important to be reminded that God sent His Son. And indeed, Thanksgiving is a time to be reminded that God calls us to be thankful. God calls us to be gracious. God calls us to spend more time being thankful for what God has done for us and less time wondering about what could still be done. Thanksgiving might be a great time to step back and do that. And we can do that by following the pattern in Deuteronomy. Take, bless, break, share. Imagine this for a moment. Imagine taking some quiet time and taking, right? Just in your mind, take all of the good things that are happening in your life. Don't worry about the bad things. Put those out of your mind. Don't compare the good to the bad. Just take a moment and think, what are all the good things in my life? And take them together. Bless God by being thankful for those. Say, God, I am so thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my home. I'm thankful for my dog. Whatever it is for you, right? I'm thankful for my opportunities. I'm thankful for my health. And then the hard part is then to break it, divide it up, and share it. How might we be focused on sharing the good in our lives with the world? Now, this is my theory on why our sin nature is so bent on making us believe that life is worse than it really is. Why the enemy of our faith is so bent on making sure that we are dissatisfied and unhappy. Friends, there is a force that wants us to be unhappy. There is a sin nature in us that wants us to believe that things used to be better than they are now, that things are terrible, that we don't have enough, that we need more, right? This sin nature tells us that because it gives us a theology of scarcity. It makes us believe that the good that we have in our lives is scarce and needs to be closely guarded. And then we stop breaking and sharing the good that happens in our lives. A lot of writers have been writing about the theology of scarcity in churches. As we read in that letter this morning, even mentioned it. We are in a period of decline for the Christian church. We know that. It's been true since about the Civil War. The church has been, the last year that Christianity grew was 1861. It's been on decline ever since. We have this theology of scarcity that's sort of come up. We become so afraid of how things are changing that we hold close and cling to that which we think is good rather than breaking it, dividing it, and sharing it. When we aren't thankful, we get caught in the theology of scarcity. Thankfulness humbles us. Thankfulness also breaks us out of that sin nature mold to believe that whatever we have isn't enough. Instead, Deuteronomy tells us to be thankful to God for giving you all the things that you have and for giving you the opportunities to do all of the things that you do. Moses says it's tempting to look at the good, to be thankful, and then to say, look at all I've accomplished all on my own. But in fact, it's God who gives us this ability. It can be tough. That theology of scarcity, that belief that we don't have enough, that's very powerful and profound, and that's why it's there. It's there so that we won't share it. It's there so that we won't be thankful. It's there so that we won't share with the world the love that comes from God and all of the good that's happening in our lives. The theology of scarcity causes us not to give of our time and our talents and our gifts. When we receive our offering in a little bit, we'll follow that exact same pattern. We'll take that which has been given to us, right, freely from one another. We'll bless God. We'll give thanks for that. And then we'll break it and we'll share it with those in need in our community. But indeed, that theology of scarcity stops us from coming to the harvest. That fear that we don't have enough stops us from bringing to the table that which God is calling us to give. Because we are so constantly and consistently told in our world that what we are isn't enough and what we have isn't enough. But if we spent more time being thankful for what we already have, we might find God multiplying what we have so that we can indeed break it and share it amongst those who need it. So there it is in our lives. The next time we have that feeling that dwells in our sin nature, I know I have it a lot, to wonder why you just don't have enough. You don't have enough support, enough money, enough help. People aren't good enough or nice enough. Take, bless, break, share. Take a step back. Take stock of all that is good in your life. Thank God for it. Bless God for it. And just to prove that that sin nature can't get a hold of you, just to prove that that theology of scarcity can't become a part of you that corrupts your soul, share the good with those in your world and watch it multiply. Thankfulness humbles us. It forces us to take a step back and to look at what we already have, no matter how little to be thankful for. It stops us dead in our tracks from our sin nature to complain about what we don't have instead of being thankful for what we do have. Thankfulness also places us at the feet of God. Instead of believing that all of the good that comes from us, we recognize that all that is good comes from God. I know I'm very thankful for this church. I'm thankful for all of you. I really am. You are really wonderful people. And I'm thankful for the opportunity that we have in this community. I'm thankful tonight for the Thanksgiving service. I don't know if you know this, but we're unique in having a functioning ministerial alliance, which has been renamed, and you'll find out about that new name tonight. We're relaunching the ministerial alliance because it continues to grow and continues to do great things. So if you want to learn more, I'll see you tonight. But how's that for a plug? But Union, Washington, Pacific, these communities do not have a gathering of Christian churches. It doesn't happen. Our theology of scarcity has gotten us so afraid to associate with others that we hide and we cling to ourselves. It's a symptom of this very problem. Our unwillingness to be thankful, our unwillingness to give thanks to God for everything that we have been given causes us to cling to what we have and hold it close to our chest lest anyone else see it. Right? This is the light of mine, right? The kids' song, I won't hide it under a bushel. Well, we're hiding it under a bushel when we refuse to associate with other people of faith. So I hope very much that this entire church will be there tonight, that we'll have a huge turnout so that we can show to our community we are the kind of church that takes and blesses and breaks and shares. I'm thankful for this community. I'm thankful for each of you. I'm thankful for two churches, really, that do incredible stuff. When I walked into Fairview this morning, a group of folks were there bagging up cans from the Boy Scouts to distribute to kids in the school. And so I got to spend my morning before worship, and it was an incredible morning time instead of my usual prayer time, putting cans in bags, you know, just loading bags up for the Boy Scouts. And on Thursday, this church is going to come together. I think Roger told me the other day, it wouldn't be Thanksgiving without it. You know, you talk about Thanksgiving, sacrificing Thanksgiving and coming here instead. For a lot of you, this is your Thanksgiving, and to not do it would be sacrificing Thanksgiving. To come here and to feed people in our community, to be so thankful for what we already have, that we take it, we bless it, we break it, and we share it. So friends, give thanks to this week. Give thanks to God. Give thanks to one another. Humans always need encouragement. We do. We don't get enough of it. We don't have enough people in our lives, none of us do, telling us what good we are and how good we are having been created by God. So give thanks to God. Give thanks for one another. Be a voice of encouragement. Because as I look around, I see a God that is so very good. And for that, I'm thankful, and I hope you'll join me in that too. Amen.